The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good morning. You on the morning show with Michael and Kara. The new show called The Wake Up Show every Wednesday. I'm your host from the morning show, and I'm just sitting in with Michael and Kara for two sessions, and y'all going to do the show on your own. But they got a lot of things they want to talk about, and
that's
I'm going
right.
to turn the mic over to the y'all guys.
Wake up, Philadelphia.
Yes. Hello, hello, hello.
And that is Makara Sloan with Michael Sloan, your host. And the vision for this show is to talk about what's going on in our community, not just from a negative perspective, but I would like to come from a positive perspective. If we do present an issue or a problem, let's talk about the solutions. And one of the things that I definitely want to get into is the good that's going around in the community. There's a lot of corporations that are looking to give back to the city, our communities. It's just how do they connect with us? And this show is going to be about connecting with those programs, those organizations who want to give back and lift our communities up. I think we should support them. And this show is going to be all about giving away a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. We're going to talk about some of those things. So, Makara.
Yeah, I also think it's very important to spotlight the businesses in our community that are still up and coming and aren't necessarily established yet. It's very important that we give an outlet. It's very important that we give an outlet to people so that they can advertise and that they can get their names out there. I want to spotlight the young people in our communities who are working hard every day and going day in and day out, pushing whatever they are pursuing for the best. And I think it's very important that we give them the spotlight and the opportunities to grow, because what we want to see in our community, we have to provide the opportunities for.
Well said. Here's what's dear to me is wellness. Wellness for yourself, mentally, spiritually, and physically. I am a wellness coach. I go around all the city and I teach people how to heal themselves naturally. You give me an ailment, I'll tell you what herb, what plant to use to heal yourself. A lot of people in this city, all over the country, suffer from diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, And there's very simple ways to actually combat that. You know, I tell people, if by food you can make your blood pressure go up, by food you can make it go down. If by food you can make your sugar go up, by food you can make it go down. There's so much that has changed in our communities over time, and that we consider it the norm, but it really isn't. When I was growing up, it was rare that you saw so many people with cancer. You know, back in the day, people, you know, little girls got pregnant at the age of 12 and 13. Now they get pregnant at the age of 8 and 9. What in the world is going on? Chickens are fully grown within 2 weeks. That's not normal. So what in the world is going on? What's happening to us? You know, back when we were growing up, let's talk about community, because we're talking about helping our community. Makara, what... I know we come from, you know, even though you're my daughter.
Well, I think we should let everyone know first and foremost. My name is Makara Sloan, or Kara Sloan. His name is Michael Sloan. We're father and daughter, so don't get anything twisted. We're just father and daughter. And it's a conversation we have very often about his ideals of community and my own ideals of community. And I guess I'll let you talk about your ideals.
Yeah, and sometimes we come from different viewpoints. But at the same time, we're not going to always agree. You know how, you know, parent and child sort of...
we can butt heads sometimes.
Yeah.
All in love.
Yeah. How about sometimes? But I'm going to share my view. Because when I was growing up, you know, I lived in a community where your religious leaders played an important part of what was going on in your community. The pastors knew pretty much everybody on the block. Today, it's rare that any church has any influence on their surrounding community because they don't live in the community. So how can they really have influence on what's going on? And I lived up in a time and era where as though if I was doing something wrong, my neighbor would come and correct me and beat me. And again, we have different philosophies on that as well. But and I don't want to get too much into that, but we're going to get into a little bit about how I grew up. Because when I grew up in school, they would give us the paddle. And really, it came in a time when you had a choice to be suspended or you could take the paddle. And I know Makara will look at that as a form of abuse, taking the paddle. But I look at it like this. Nature sort of gets things right. Man sort of changes things. And we see that with just about everything. In nature, the mother or the father of that animal would actually rough that, you know, sibling or young animal, they would actually pull them, hurt them, do something just a little, just not really to hurt them, but to warn them. And you look at nature. Nature also says this. If you play with fire, you're going to get what? You're going to get burned. So there's some type of pain associated with trying to correct. I think we've taken the ability for parents to correct. Now, let me just say this. Makara, have ever disciplined you whereas I had to lay hands on you?
No.
And though myself, I don't necessarily have done it, but I wouldn't take that right from someone else. I mean, I was able to influence my child without beating them. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to take, now I get it. Sometimes animals are so much smarter than people when it comes to various things, because we do things that will harm ourselves. Like an animal has enough sense to go eat grass. A dog has enough sense, if it has an upset stomach, to eat grass. We're going to do all kinds of things to hurt ourselves.
I do want to interject in that if the nostalgia is always great, and we tend to remember things in a better light than they once were. And if things were so great, I think your generation would have taken more of an effort to maintain those things. To maintain those things. So if it was so great that your teacher could do that to you when you guys grew up, you wouldn't have made it illegal for the teacher to do that. If it was so important that your neighbor was able to discipline your children when you guys got older, you wouldn't have punished your neighbor or you know, told your neighbor, don't talk to my kid like that. So when it comes to the problems within our community today, it is very important to acknowledge that the generation who created this community, and it's my generation that is moving into deciding what the community is, but we are, as of now, not the people who created this community. It is you guys. So when you see stuff that you don't like, you have to have ownership of it, because were the one with the influence.
Excuse me, Troy, you see how this is going, right? You see how this is going. All right, so.
She's gonna win the argument.
Thank you, I often do.
No, she thinks she wins. Again, I always side with nature. Nature makes sense. People, we have a tendency not to make, because we think we always know better. And to that argument, you know, that argument to me doesn't really hold much water, because again, man, for whatever reason, will begin to influence decisions for us to make. In terms of a society, we could do this, we could do that. And is it really the people, or is it a certain section of people who govern us? And I think there's a lot of people who will say this: I know how to raise my child. I do the best that I can, and I do it the right way. Now you, for instance, you'll have a number of people that's going to abuse their child. So they make it bad for everyone. So then those decisions are made based on a few bad apples who can't rear their children. So they make it pervasive, whereas no one could discipline their child. So the government will discipline your child for you. For instance, we all know this, when a police officer, especially back in the day, when we couldn't hit our child, but a police officer can, for whatever reason. So is that right? It's wrong.
Well, see, I think that that's not a good argument against me, because to me, that's police brutality. No, I don't think anyone should be getting beat up. So then this is where we get into the it doesn't work. That analogy doesn't work, because no, I don't think the police should be doing that to people,
right,
and I don't think their parents should be doing it to them either. And this is where I go into that as a grown adult. What adult, when they drop something and they shatter it, let's say it's an iPhone or they break a glass lamp in their house, do they go outside and get a switch and beat themselves over the back? Do they go and get a belt and beat themselves over the back? No. Even if somebody else breaks your things, it is not normal for you to go over and then hit them for breaking your stuff or for doing something wrong to you. It might happen, but then you'll press charges and things will come out of that. It is not normal in our society as adults for us to physically...
You're twisting this conversation to go somewhere else, because you're talking about an accident.
Well,
Hold on.
I get what you
We're
mean.
Talking
no,
about
no,
discipline. Discipline and making mistakes are two different things.
All right, I'll change the analogy then. When you're having a bad day and you're not being the nicest person that you could be, when you might say a snarky comment to somebody, when you might hurt somebody's feelings intentionally because you are upset, that person does not then go and smack you in the face. That person does not then go and hurt you. If they do, you're going to press charges. If they do, you're going to go about it. You're going to do something about it. A child does not have that right. So even if they do say a bad word, even if they do something wrong, I don't think it's right to hit them for it, because you would not be hit for doing that exact same thing.
So what are we talking about here? Let's make sure that
autonomy.
Wait. So what are we talking about? Am I advocating beating so that we don't get this thing twisted? Because it almost comes across as that I'm advocating, and I never beat my children. But what I don't want to do is necessarily take people's right away to discipline. And we're talking about discipline now. We're not talking about harming anyone. We're talking about discipline, the way nature disciplines. We do know this. You know, if you mess with fire, fire is going to discipline you.
Well, the thing about nature.
So hold on. Let me just finish. And just terms of nature, because I just believe nature get things right. Because again, nature, you're not trying to harm a person, because you know what could be the worst form of pain is emotional pain. That's one of the reasons why when they gave me an option as a 16-year-old and 17-year-old, you can get suspended or you could take the paddle. I took the paddle every single, because I'm wanting that. It's over with. Whereas if I got suspended, the emotional scar that I would have to get from my mother, because, you know, with my kids and even with my nephews, you know what they hated for me? They hated my lecture. That's why I didn't have to hit them. They even would ask me to beat them because they didn't want to hear my mouth. So again, you know, it comes down to, you know, taking away. I just look at our young people today.
I want to just, I think it is improper to say that one form of abuse is greater than another form of abuse. It all depends on the person. There are some people who they have the emotional fortitude to take some words, but they don't have the pain tolerance to take a punch. And the opposite is true. I think you got to be very careful with that. I agree
with that. But I
also want to know, as I'd argue, there's a lot of people who have experienced both, and they will tell you, I'd rather them say some mean words to me than hit me.
Well, again, that's a matter of perspective, because I'm the opposite. No, give me the whack, let it be over with, because it's one and done.
Well, that's because you're already used to being hit.
No, I was not used to being hit. Really, I wasn't. I didn't grow up really getting a whipping. But again, to me, it's, and maybe it's a guy thing. I don't know. I don't think it is a guy thing. I think because when you get a whipping, it's done. It's over with. You know, the worst thing is to get a punishment and you get grounded for 2 weeks or a month. Well, you should get a whack. Okay. It's to teach. And again, what is the reason for it? You know, I don't believe that any parent should hit anyone out of anger. So what we're talking about is the intent. The intent is really love. And when an animal, mother bear takes a their cub and they rough them up and say, look, don't do that. Because life, if you make that mistake in life, you know, and it's a predator, you're going to be killed. And you look at these young men out here today who grew up without any discipline, And look at them. They have no respect for authority
If you talk to a lot of them and ask them, did your parents beat you? A lot of them will say, yes, my mom messed me up. Day in and day out, my mom didn't like the fact that I was doing this. My mom, so it's not that these kids aren't getting beat, because I can tell you almost everybody I went to school with got beat by their parents. It's not that they're not getting beat, it's that clearly beatings are not working. It's if it, and this is when we get into the, when you say nature works.
I don't like the word beat. I like the word discipline.
But okay, discipline.
Because beat is a really negative connotation. Because when you discipline, it involves a number of things. Because I said, I've never had to hit my kids because, again, the way I disciplined, you know, it was a talking to. It was a threat. Because the whole thing is, if there's not a threat, because life is a threat, you do the wrong thing, you know, at your job, you will get what? Fired. And the consequences could be great. And I think so many of our young people don't understand consequences, or they don't care about the consequences. But, you know, we spent 15 minutes on this, and I know we probably won't wrap it up. We're always going to have a difference of opinion on it. But at the end of the day, it's about waking up and providing some solutions to the problem. Because right now we just talked about the problem.
Right.
But what are some of the solutions? And again, I always come from a viewpoint of trying to get the person that I'm trying to correct the proper understanding of the consequences, so that, again, you don't do this, because as you get older, the consequences, the risk factor goes up. So with that being said, any final words before we move on to our...
I would say a solution would be to really sit down with your kid. Whatever behavior that they're exhibiting, so you see why they're acting like that. And if you really can't figure it out, seek a professional. And I think it also is important to note, what relationship do you want with your child? When they are in pain, do you want them to go to you? When they need something, do you want them to go to you? You want to be... to me, I think you would want to be your child's first choice and a backup plan, the first person that you'll fall on. So if they do make a mistake, they are willing to come to you. And I just want to put forth in people's minds that if my memory of my parent is painful when I came to them with a mistake or anything, I might not go to them.
True. So you're here talking with Michael Sloan, or Reverend Michael Sloan, whichever one, and Makara Sloan, this father and daughter duo. We're going to be having other guests. Businesses come on, ministers come on, religious people come on, and just talk about the community at large, and really giving an inspiring hope in our community. You know, when you look at these young Black men out here who have lost, to me, just all hope. You look at the fact that they're not gifted athletically, academically, musically, what do they really have to look forward to? They have a deck stacked against them. You have a judicial system that's stacked against them. You have a penal system who profited from them going to jail. And it's been that way for forever. And we, you know, listen, we can't fix all the problems, but we can fix some of them. And we're going to start. This show is going to be about starting something good, something great. We're going to be talking about some fantastic things. We have a new, I call it asset coin, that we're going to be introducing as cryptocurrency. But it is a organization, it's an African-American organization, and it's based on real estate. Whereas though most digital coins, you really don't know really what's behind it, what's going on, and it's highly volatile. It could be up one moment and down the next, whereas though this one actually stays stable because it's based on real estate. So we're going to be having the CEO of that company come on. We have a huge guest list that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be giving away these asset coins as well. You guys hear what I said?
Giving it away.
This could be highly valuable in the future. So if you looked at cryptocurrency, just how volatile it is and how explosive it is, we're going to have one for our communities. And it's going to be for all people, because this is about being inclusive. You know, I work with a lot of organizations, a lot of different cultures, and they've all agreed to pitch in to help out, to, help the communities in need, because we're all affected by this, folks. We're all affected. So, you know, whether I'm working with the Indian community, it doesn't make a difference, Asian community, Jewish community, I work with all of them, and we're all going to become together to help out with our endeavorments. We have the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses that actually supports this radio program called The Wake Up Show. So we're going to be having, and I'm part of the Federation, and we have a number of organizations that's part of the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. We have some super sponsors that's working with us now to help us give away a lot of things.
Right. We actually just held a giveaway September 25th. We gave away over $80,000 worth of stuff, consisting mostly of
juicers.
Yeah. Juicers, knives. We gave away speakers. We gave away
Bone rings.
Oh, we also, it was a job fair.
Yes.
That ShopRite hired a few people. One of the members of the Federation hired a few people.
Yes, and we have some other organizations that's committed to hiring it. They got some people hired as well. We're working not only with ShopRite. I don't want to show the names of these organizations just yet because we're still working out some of the details.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also worked with Chick-fil-A. So we do have some big sponsors that we're working with, and we're in negotiation talks now with a huge one to go national. So they're going to be a big sponsor of this radio station as well. Hopefully this week we'll finalize the contract. And again, the whole idea is to support organizations who are supporting us.
Right.
So we have what we call a symbiotic relationship to give opportunity to the inner communities, and those businesses should be supported. So it's a two-way street. And, you know, there's a federation for every culture except one. And that is to get, again, money circulating back into the communities. Since the community is gentrifying anyway, it needs to go in certain pockets so that, you know, it'll be more equitable. And we won't have this disparity and this loss of hope. And when there's a loss of hope, that puts everybody in danger.
Right. And, you know, as you often say, we need to weaponize our spending power.
Correct.
Because it is known that African-Americans in this country hold an immense amount of spending power. And what we do with that spending power impacts how our communities look. So where we spend our money, who we choose to give our money to. So whomever you choose to give your money to, be mindful of what they are doing with that money as well. There's a difference between when you go to the small business and when you go to the big business. There's a difference when you help an individual, when you support an individual selling something and when you walk into a store and buy it. I think I'm not necessarily anti a large company or anti big business. It's very important to support the little guys and keep the little guys going.
And you're right about that, because at the end of the day, it's about being equitable. What about being fair? Because the little business, you know, what they say, the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. And that has to change. And we need to find a way to circulate. But whose keys are those shaking, McCara? Stop shaking those keys. let's talk about why that happens in our community. And I'm going to get blasted for this. Why I think the ghettos, why do we have the ghetto? What's causing it? What are some of the solutions to get around it? And this is just my opinion, and I've shared it on other radio stations. but most pastors that I had on the show would agree. And as a minister, I'm going to say the reason why we have the ghetto, it starts with the ministers. It starts with me and other pastors. Because at the end of the day, and I'm going to have some pastors on this show because they're going to have to help fix this problem. Because at the end of the day, if you're a pastor and you have a congregation, if you can get people to donate to your church in blind faith with nothing in return other than the faith that they use, that they're going to get something from the good old Lord. And God said, we perish for a lack of knowledge. Oh, okay. So push that off to the side for a second. You know, if you can get people to donate to your cause, and I say your cause in the name of the Lord with nothing in return, why can't you get your people to patronize your businesses who are supporting your community? And by doing so, you give job opportunities, you get the money to circulate into the community, because really, in the African-American community, where the money circulate at is in what? Barbershops? Oh, very small amount. Hair salons? Very small amount. Churches? There's where it circulates at, in the church, the black church. So why won't ministers come together and say, you know what? You can vote a company in with your dollar, and you can vote a company where?
Out.
We're so caught up in this political process. No, get caught up in the economic process, because that process you can control. You can vote in with your dollar and you can vote out. Remember, black people's greatest weakness is their greatest strength. Your weakness is the fact that you spend your money so fast, you don't save anything. But as you said, weaponize it. Weaponize it and direct it towards those organizations, whether they're white or black, who's supporting your community. Now you have job opportunity of significance.
Right.
Now you have business growing within. Now you're planting seeds of hope, and it makes it better for every culture in the community. Every last one of them, because you don't have the disparity. You don't have people walking around desperate who basically don't have any hope or inspiration. And that's a danger when you
have nothing to lose.
Right. There's no vision, nothing. So in our show, we're going to hopefully inspire people. We're going to have people that we're going to attach ourselves to, and we're going to grow them. And I put my money where my mouth is. We are going to grow them. And I'm going to get your attention as well, listening audience, because we're going to always be giving something away. So we have these forever sharp knives that next week we're going to talk about giving them away. Remember the knives that used to cut into a can, cut into a shoe, cut into a hammer, and they would stay sharp? Well, we have a lot of these to give away. These are really special knives, and they've been demonstrated on TV. I had people come up to me and say, you know, I had my knife for 20 years, and it's still razor sharp. I actually gave some knives away to someone, and they didn't think it was sharp. I seen them 2 weeks later. They actually cut their arm to the bone. Oh. Some kind of way slipped off. There's cutting something sharp, and it went right to their bone. So they are very sharp. I will tell people again, be careful with these knives. They're very sharp. We got some paring knives. You got some long knives with juicers on them, with them, and all different types of gadgets. We have some juicers. These juicers are worth like $250. So they're really nice. They do the job. And we got some nice restaurant quality frying pans. Pots and pans. Some of them are set. Some of them are just individual pans. You can actually cook an egg in them without any type of oil or butter, and it just slide right off. And they actually have a guarantee for like 30 years.
Oh, and also they're really cool because with most nonstick pans, you're not supposed to use metal in them, and because they scratch. But with this pan, ideally you wouldn't use metal in it. But even if you scratch it, it's still safe to use.
Correct, because of the material it's made from. So folks, again, this is the Wake Up Philadelphia Show.
We'll be back right after this with the Wake Up Show with Michael and Kara.
Car trouble? Strawberry Mansion Auto Repair can help. They do it all, from your transmission and engine work to your state emission inspections, tune-ups, and radiator flushes. They can do your oil change and your brakes and exhaust system repairs. They'll fix everything but a broken heart. Find them at 2301 North 30th Street in Philly. Call 215-229-7589. Strawberry Mansion Auto Repair.
Take a walk down Main Street, any Main Street, and what do you see? Unfortunately, during COVID-19, many businesses have had to limit their hours. Some have furloughed staff or cut wages. Others have shut down completely.
A loss of income for many can have serious consequences, as people often must leave their neighborhoods and homes in search of more affordable housing. Added to this heartbreak, some people of color face housing discrimination as they look for new homes and are shut out of certain housing opportunities because of their race, color, or national origin.
This must stop. COVID-19 inequity is real, and it shouldn't be made worse because of housing discrimination.
If you suspect housing discrimination because of your race, color, or national origin, file a complaint with HUD so we can investigate it.
To learn more, go to hud.gov/fairhousing. Fair housing. The law is on your side.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
This is a St. Jude moment.
Ashton was a high-level athlete, and in an instant, your world flips, and your healthy 5-year-old competitive cheerleader has a brain tumor. And the physician was like, your best option is St. Jude. Receiving treatment that was life-saving for our child and knowing that that treatment would be of no cost to us was a huge weight lifted.
Learn more at stjude.org.
Wake up, Philadelphia, with the Wake Up Show. You're here with Michael, or Reverend Michael Sloan, and
Makara Sloan.
This show is going to be dedicated to waking you up and staying woke, as the young people would say. Are you woke? And if you have any questions and you would like to call in, you can dial 888-329-3306. Again, that number is 888-329-3306. My question out there, what's more important than your health? Makara?
What's more important than your health? Well, I want to be here for a long time, so I can say nothing.
Okay. Most people put money, really, whether we realize it or not, we're chasing after what? Money.
Money.
Now, from a biblical standpoint, perspective, if you go by the Bible, it says money answers all problems. But death is, if you consider death a problem, it might not necessarily handle that. But I'll say this, when you have money, you can afford healthy things. But a lot of times we're not disciplined to live a healthier life. So, and getting back to what we talked about, having a healthy community, you know, when disproportionately, you know, the lower income families suffer more of the disease states than others. So I want to talk about, you know, getting our communities healthier. And, you know, I go out to all of these senior buildings and community centers, and I do what we call a take back your health. I have what we call an amen program, amend. And it's basically agree to, when you look at the words, or the acronym, is agree to meditate, exercise, take a nutrition, and detox. So we'll turn it around, and I say start with the D first. Start off by detoxifying yourself, then taking your nutrition, and then actually I can, you know, put the D in front of the E, or doesn't matter which one you do, but meditate and then do your exercise. And if you do it in that order, you will begin to, I would say, slow your aging process down. And I look at myself, I'm about to turn 58, and I've never, ever in my life felt this way. And I, you know, I ran track, played basketball, played football. I used to actually play football with the Eagles, not on a team, but I used to play with a lot of the ex-Eagles, Ray Farmer, I forget these guys, Fletcher, not Fletcher Cox, but there was another guy named Fletcher, but a lot of the Ray Rhodes teams, players I played with, and a lot of the Phillies management. We would have what we call pickup games, and we would play football. And always, I was the slowest person because those guys were super fast. But then when I got into nutrition, I began to be able to keep up with those guys.
Well, and could you talk about what are the changes you made when you got into nutrition that enabled you?
Well, one of the things that I tell people is the detox. You know, you really can't put a... If I can go back 30 years, I would be such a great athlete now, such a great athlete, because now I understand why my body kept breaking down. I could actually help a lot of these sports teams and why their bodies, because your body breaks down because it can't repair itself faster than you're damaging it. And every time you exercise, you're creating what we call micro tears, and your body needs to be able to repair itself, but you don't have the nutrition in your body. So your body doesn't heal as fast. I'm healing faster now at my age than when I was younger, which is amazing. So you talked about the changes. Well, the changes is that I don't really believe in diets. I believe in lifestyle change. So I'm going to cut back on my sugar. The sugar is what aging, what ages you much faster. Say, well, not all sugar. Your body converts everything to sugar. So what were we talking about? We're talking about processed sugar. So I began to cut back on my processed sugar. But more importantly, I detox. So what type of detox? Well, there's all different types of detoxes you can use. You can take lemon, organic lemon, apple cider vinegar. What else besides apple cider vinegar? You can use blueberries and strawberries. You could make that into a infused water type of drink. And you want to use filtered water.
Don't you have one Don't you have one with olive oil?
Yes, I do. But that's not the one I'm going to use right away. And I tell people for especially seniors, you know, start off with the lemons because lemons will alkalize your body. But it is also a great detox. It's a gentle detox with apple cider vinegar. Take 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar into 12 ounces of water. And you can actually use green tea because green tea is a great detox as well, but you can mix the three together or just 2 of them together, and you start off by doing that. Then you begin to take in your nutrition. You're talking about reversing a lot of different disease states. A lot of people get arthritis, and they don't understand why they get it. It's because your bodies basically have all this inflammation. Inflammation is the root cause of just about every disease. But here's the thing. When you begin to get this nutrition, your body can then quell the inflammation. One of the biggest things is that your body's lacking in nutrients such as magnesium or vitamin D. And when you lack these, you give the doctor the right to basically prescribe medicine. I work with clinics. I work with medical people. But more importantly, I tell people, if you really want to heal yourself, get to know yourself. Get to understand yourself. Get to understand what you're missing nutritionally. And a lot of doctors can't help you because they don't go to school for nutrition. They go to school to practice medicine. So once you understand it, help the doctor help yourself. I'm not saying don't take your medicine.
Right.
Though I may disagree with drugs because I had these conversations with a lot of medical people. I don't think there's, and I got to say this and make sure the audience don't take this the wrong way. I don't think there's a such thing as a good drug. I work in a medical field. I have a clinic myself, but again, I don't think there's a such thing as a good drug. I think your body needs a drug because you're not doing the right thing, nutritionally. So then you wind up, you know, taking medication. And if you look at the side effects of just about any medication on TV, it says in a commercial and in a real quick blurb, it will affect your ability to heal yourself. Because the only thing that can cure you is you, and that's your immune system. And your immune system requires what? nutrition, not drugs. But if you're not going to give yourself the proper nutrition,
then you might as well take the drugs.
Then you're going to need the drugs with all the side effects.
Well, when we're talking about health and within our communities, I do think it's very important to talk about, well, and as we're talking about healthy eating, it's very important to talk about food deserts. That so what a food desert is it's when there, I'll pull up the definition. Food deserts develop as grocery stores cluster around high-paying customers. And for Philly, less than 1% of Center City residents are more than half a mile away from a grocery store. But in North Philly neighborhoods like Germantown and Belfield, that number can reach between 40 and 50%. And what this looks like is there aren't any grocery stores around, but what you will find around are corner stores, poppy stores, bodegas, whatever you want to call them. And they are the ones who are supplying foods to these neighborhoods. And what they have is usually junk food. And in more recent times, they have started to have a bit of fresh fruit selection, but it's not enough to sustain a community on. And when, as we talk about urging people to eat healthier, I think we also need to make sure we are making our government officials aware and asking them to bring in more programs so that they can have fresh foods. And it's not just that these grocery stores don't want to provide food, because who doesn't want to make money? But the problem is that grocery stores run on such a small profit that it's not in their best interest to open these stores.
Cost prohibitive.
Yeah, it's cost prohibitive. And we need to figure out a way that we can have these grocery stores in these places. And maybe they don't look like the grocery stores that we're used to. Maybe they're not supermarkets, right? Maybe they're just markets.
So what I'm hearing, and this is something, one of the things I preach, is that, you know, we need, if we just look at it from that perspective of getting our community healthy, physically, we need fresh produce.
Right.
But we can get that. There are ways to get it. It's just that people, when I come across, how do I get the fresh herbs and spices? A lot of people are unaware that, you know, you can get fresh ginger, fresh turmeric, hibiscus flowers. Dandelions are grown everywhere. And you can actually take that to detoxify your liver.
Right. I hear you. But again, we just talked about how 40 to 50% of North Philly lives more than a mile away from a grocery store of any type. So there's no Cousins, there's no Pathmark, all they have is our corner stores and things of that nature. So telling them to go, and then we also telling them to go and grab an apple or a spice when that's a mile away and I don't have a car is unrealistic.
Yeah, because we've been programmed.
Well, that's, yeah, why. And then we can get into the, even if they have access to the healthy things, if my entire, it's really hard to break a habit, right?
That's true.
And if my entire life I've been eating one way, just because I have access to something different doesn't necessarily mean I can flip a switch and change what I like to eat.
All right, Makara, I'm going to get on you. I'm going to talk about how we've been brainwashed. I have two kids. Both my kids wear glasses. But, you know, I teach people, you don't have to wear glasses if you really don't want to. And you could train your eyes to become stronger. And when you start wearing glasses, it's like putting a crutch on. And you wear that crutch for the rest of your life. But if I told you to do that, you wouldn't do it, because you say that's crazy, because my muscle or my the bone would heal. Your eyes are the same way. Your eyes can heal. If you do the right things, you can make your eyes stronger, because eyes are just muscles and you can get them stronger. But again, it's about being programmed. We program ourselves to get sick. We program ourselves to be in a certain state, whether it's medically or fiscally. I work with this young lady, and I know we're all over the place today, but it's the first show. So we're going to be talking about different things and different modalities of healing. You know, most people won't heal themselves because they're in so much pain. And a lot of them are in physical pain, right? They look at that first, and then they overlook some of the things physically that they can do to help themselves. Mentally, I think mental sickness in its slightest form is so prevalent in our community because we've lost hope. So I think that needs to be addressed with opportunities and you know, giving people a reason to smile. And that's what I want to make sure that we do on this show, that we give people a reason to smile and to wake up to. So I really do want to commit to always coming on this show and giving people a chance to get some nice gifts. So again, we're going to be bringing a lot of people to our show because, again, we're constantly out there in the community. If you have any questions, you can call in to the Wake Up Show and speak with Makara and Michael, and even Troy's sitting right across from me. You could dial that number, 888-329-3306. Again, that's 888-329-3306.
We'll be back right after this with the Michael and Makara Show, the Wake Up Show.
Car trouble? Strawberry Mansion Auto Repair can help. They do it all, from your transmission and engine work to your state emission inspections, tune-ups, and radiator flushes. They can do your oil change and your brakes and exhaust system repairs. They'll fix everything but a broken heart. Find them at 2301 North 30th Street in Philly. Call 215-229-7589. Strawberry Mansion Auto Repair.
After I got out of the Marine Corps, coming back home, it was just a mental breakdown for me. I was on the verge of giving up. That chapter, that season in my life was over. Now what? Who was I? That's what I kept asking myself. The pressure to have it all together, to heal, to quiet down the monsters inside, it was too much. I lost it. I had heard about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had seen the logo and that visual of a warrior carrying another warrior. The programs that the Wounded Warrior Project offers, it's not just the veteran themselves, it's their whole family. It brings it all together. We have scars that we carry, and just because the scars are there doesn't mean that we're any less than what we were. Right now, I'm the best version that I ever have been of myself. I can embrace the brokenness.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/notalone.
Serving my country changed my life forever, and when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped, but everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
Wake up, Philadelphia. You're here with Makara Sloan and Michael Sloan, the father and daughter duo. We plan on helping our communities throughout Philadelphia. We have some very interesting topics. Actually, we're going to be bringing on some credit experts to talk Ooh. About how credit impacts and what you could do to improve your credit right away, immediately. And a lot of times credit is used against us. In so many ways, it's such an important thing. Some of us know how to navigate without credit, and I did it for years. I knew how to get whatever I wanted without credit, but you know, it was still very difficult. But there are things that now that my credit is so much better now, I won't say what I have, but I've been able to help other people because I improved my credit. But yeah. Makara, from
he's
a young...
He's helping me who... I messed up my credit as many...
Didn't
young...
I warn you to? Didn't I not warn you?
He did. Well, you have a role in this as well. We'll talk about that.
Excuse me.
So as...
Throw me under the bus and back up.
I'm 25 now and I graduated college 2 years ago. But while I was in college, as many college students will find, you get a lot of credit card offers and you have yet to mess up your credit. And they'll give you some great credit while you're in college. So I got two credit cards, one really responsible with. It had a pretty low limit, so it stopped me from doing anything. The second one, I signed up for, it was actually a store credit card. I wasn't trying to get a real credit card. I just wanted the 30% off or whatever it was. And they gave me a real live credit card that had a $2,500 limit. Now, I was really responsible with this card for, I'd argue, the first year. I wasn't carrying a debt and it really wasn't bad. It's also important to note that it had that beautiful special where there's 0% interest for the first year. I was living my best life. Fast forward, McCara spent a little bit too much money. It's no longer 0% and I'm paying it down. This was still okay. The problem happened when it was like one of my last years of college. There was a mishap with my my loans. So I didn't get my refund check in time. So I was swiping away at this card. And by the time I did get my refund check, I had missed so many of the payments. So many of the payments that they had like just completely said, you can't use this card anymore. My credit dropped a solid 150 points so swiftly. It was absolutely tragic. And I am thankful for my father for helping me rebuild my credit. And I'm sharing my story with the hope that there won't be another person like me. And for anyone out there who is in this situation or about to be in this situation, even when you knew that you were doing something wrong, or even when you knew better, I just want to say it's okay. It's life. Sometimes things go wrong, but you can turn it around. There is help on the way.
Yes, yes. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to be bringing on some experts on how to repair your credit. You could do it yourself, which is, it could be a little bit arduous, but it is a simple formula to do just that. Or you could pay someone to do it. I'm going to be working something out where we're going to actually give away some forums to help people for free, help them fix their credit. I want to do that because everything we do, we always want to do what?
For free.
Give it away for free. Again, if you want to participate in this on our future shows, we're going to get into a lot of things. We're going to get into about race relations. And we know that could be a hot topic. Me growing up in a family that I did, I grew up with a white mom. And you know, she was afforded certain things, and her siblings, my uncles, who grew up black in the same household. How can that be? You have brothers and sisters who are brothers and sisters, but some of them grow up white and some of them grow up black. And some of them, I mean, the white ones have a third grade education. The black ones, college degree. Which one you think grew up or had a better life? Which one? Troy, which one you think had a better life fiscally?
I would say the white one.
There you go. There you go. They were afforded more things, though they didn't have the same education. They were afforded more opportunities. So we do know that there's, you know, this thing is not right. It's not. And you know, the more that we shun away from it and act like it doesn't exist, it does. I mean, you know, even in modern times, I was told in one particular job, if I hire one black person, they were going to fire me. This is modern time. Hire one black person and I will fire you. So we want to talk about that in the upcoming shows and how, you know, I'm working with various organizations to actually combat this. These are white organizations who are willing to help. We need more black organizations to join in as well, but they're carrying this torch to actually help mend the fences. So again, if you would like to know more about this show and the Federation of Black Minority Businesses, you can call into the radio station at 888-329-3306. We have Troy Baylor right now standing across from us, and we have McCara Sloan, my daughter, and you can also speak to Reverend Michael Sloan. We're going to have Wanda Davis on at some point in time and talk about the credit repair, how it impacts us, and how, you know, we're always going to pay more by not having what we call good credit. There are ways around it. You could figure out a way around it. And again, you need either a sugar mama or a sugar daddy to help you out. Could always sponsor you. But if you don't have that, guess what? You're going to pay a price. So, folks, We're getting to that crunch time.
I do want to just also throw in, if you are a business within the Philadelphia community and you want to give back to the to your community and you hear this show and you want to give something back on this show, please get into contact with either Reverend Sloan or I.
I'm going to give back. Actually, I'm going to give my name. And we should also give the website to the Federation of Black and Minority Businesses. Makara, why don't you give that...
The Federation of Black and Minority Businesses website is thefbmb.com. That is thefbmb.com.
And you can also call me on my number, 267-210-1807.
Hey, don't forget to tune in every Wednesday from 10 to 11 with the Michael and Kara Show, the Wake Up Show, right here on WWDB 860 AM.